At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right, what's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. It is December 28th, 2024, 7:53 p.m. This is somewhat of a normal episode. What's up, Julio?
What up?
Shit. Just relaxing.
Yeah, I work this morning. I also work tomorrow morning. It's funny because we postponed recording last night.
Yeah.
Because my schedule, you know, I was working this morning, and then we had to alter our schedule again today because my schedule changed for me to open tomorrow.
Did somebody call off or what?
Yeah, something like that.
Ooh, these pieces of shit out here. I'll tell you what. I got into it with my son.
About what? Being a piece of shit?
Basically, yeah. So my dad's in the hospital now. We drove down there on Christmas to visit him. And he's just as cranky as ever. Pissed off about everything, right? And so that was the first time I seen my son in a while because he'd been in prison. So I was asking him in front of my dad, like, you working or what? He goes, yeah, I'm roofing. And I'm like, the fuck you mean you're roofing? You know, he's like, I said, they don't do roofs in the wintertime. Why don't you go to fucking, and where my dad lives, like my son's staying with my dad. So there's like a 6 corners, dude, like 6 roads come into each other. And there is all kinds of shit, like fucking donut shops, pizza shops. I said, why don't you just get a fucking job at like one of the pizza shops at 6 corners? You can fucking walk there. And my dad started yelling, fucking McDonald's, anything. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, McDonald's, dude. My son's like, well, I'm used to working with my hands. I'm like, what do you mean you're used to working with your hands? You've been in fucking prison for 3 fucking years. And before that, basically the past 5-6 years. You know, like, whatever, man. So we've been going back and forth on fucking texts and shit. He's sending me pictures of the roofing job, a patch job he did. And I'm just like, whatever, man. He sends me that shit and all it does is make me more pissed off. So whatever. Getting to be more and more like my dad.
What's so wrong with roofing and patching roofs and stuff?
Because, man, they work like fucking once every 3 weeks. I said, why don't you just get a fucking minimum wage job where you're working 5-6 days a week? That's Assistance. Way better than working once every 3 weeks. I mean, he does it every time he gets out, he does this shit. You know, it's always some under the table bullshit where it depends on the weather. You know, whatever, man. He's grown up, man. He's going to do what he wants to do. But it pisses me right the fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that there's a lot of satisfaction out of, like, a steady job. Like, we always talk that you and I actually mentally and everything, we feel better when we're working. Despite the fact that we hate, you know, like, nobody really likes to go to work, but we're better mentally if we go to work.
Right.
And we have that little bit of structure.
I told him that.
Like
I literally told him that. I said, because he's obviously he's got fucking mental issues and shit, you know, being in and out of prison. And I said, look, dude, I think it was right after he told me something about working with his hands. I said, once you feel better about yourself getting up every fucking morning and going in and doing something and fucking working with your hands once every 3 fucking weeks, you know?
Yeah. So I mean, I think that there is the stigma of working in the food industry. Like, I know. Some people feel that they're too good for it.
Right. Yeah.
I used to have a coworker. He doesn't work there anymore, but he would he would change into the uniform at work because he would walk from his house to work, and he didn't want anybody to see him dressed in the Domino's outfit.
Huh.
And the funny part is, like, I used to be the same. It took me like over a year for me to feel comfortable, like, even mentioning to my parents that I worked at Domino's.
Yeah, I don't see nothing wrong. I don't see anything wrong with it, man.
It turned out to be a good opportunity, and you know, and they've been good to me.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah.
Oh man.
Man, I'm jealous of this this beanie Fox is wearing. that his wife crocheted for him. You hear that, Lisa? You need to make me a hat.
Hey, man. Got himself. It looks good. This is the second try here, though. The first one she made me, it was similar to this color, but it had like a bright white stripe on it, and it was way too big, so it looked like a Rasta hat. And I didn't want to say nothing. I'm like, yeah, I like it. I like it. And so she's like, how come you're not wearing your hat? And she was she was knitting my daughter a scarf, which was the same color as this hat I got on. And it had like, it would be this color, and then it would be brown, which is like camouflage. It was like,
yeah,
nice looking. I said, man, I wish you would have made my stripe in my hat that color that Malie's scarf is. And she's like, what, you don't like your hat? And I never really said no, but she kind of figured it out, so she made me another one. Yeah.
That's funny. So, hey, so you didn't answer my call yesterday.
About what?
You texted me, like, why did you call me?
I told you I don't like talking on the phone.
I might have needed you, man.
Then you should have texted me. What happened?
I did. I texted you. I went up to the dispensary yesterday. I don't know why I've been like postponing it or like just being lazy or not motivated to go up there. I try to stay like local for the most part for those kind of needs. But I've been smoking these like gas station joints. Like there's this gas station that sells these quote legal THCA infused joints.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, eh, you know what? It's convenient. It's right there by my house, and I'm only spending like $6 at a time. And they're all right.
Does it get your eye?
Day, yeah.
Huh.
So here, but it's kind of like fake weed. And here's how I know it's fake weed, because I actually smoked regular THC weed the other night.
Yeah.
And holy shit! Like I was, I felt vulnerable. Like I was hanging out with somebody and I was like I got really fucking high. Like I got really affected. Like it really fucking scared me. Like I couldn't drive home.
Wow.
I had to pull over or hang out in the parking lot before I left, you know, to kind of like get my bearings back together. I thought about like cruising through Taco Bell and getting some food, but I'm like, no, it's 3 a.m. I'm just going to get heartburn.
Right.
Just go home.
Right.
But yeah, so they were supposed to be a dollar. My friend told me that they were a dollar for these pre-rolls. So I went on the site and I ordered 56 of them at $1 a piece.
Oh yeah, I was wondering what the fuck you were talking about.
Which is 2 ounces of pre-rolls. So I ordered it. It was going to be like $60 total. And I go up to the dispensary and they show, and I show up and they're like, we don't have the product you ordered. Is it okay if we substitute it? And I'm like, what's the price difference? And they're like, oh, it's nothing at all to you, but these will be $8 a piece. So I got upgraded from dollar pre-rolls to $8 pre-rolls.
Damn.
And my receipt said I saved $398.
Holy shit, dude. Yeah. Was it good?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, dude. That was like, life's been shitting on me lately a little bit. And that was like a very redeeming moment when the universe gave me that opportunity. And I'm so, I don't know, just something I'm grateful for.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's what I was calling you about. I was like, I have to tell somebody.
Oh, you were excited about your bargain. Yeah. Your bargain. All right. Yeah, because when you text me, I got 56 of them. I'm like, what the fuck is this dude talking about? Jesus Christ. All right, so I was out on the town, and I ran into a, I'm guessing she was a feminist, and I asked her what her name is. And she goes, well, my name, I'm not going to say her name. She says, my name's such and such, but I use my mom's last name instead of my father's. I'm like, oh, okay.
I know where this is going.
And so I said, so you mean you use your grandfather's last name then?
That's like gay people waking up, you know, and realizing that they just slept 8 straight hours, not 8 gay hours.
Oh, that reminds me. I got a clip of, I'm getting ready to grab another beer, but I got a clip of that black African dude that says, why are you gay? And it, you know, the clip that most of us see, it goes farther than that. There's more to it. Yeah. Have you seen that?
I think so.
All right. Give me a second. All right. We're back. Okay. Let me share my screen. I got that clip of that African dude. Let me see here.
He's from Uganda.
Why are you gay? You are gay. What? Hold up. Share. All right. You are gay. Okay. They're saying, why don't you stick up for heterosexuals? And the dude's like, what are you talking about?
Why don't you fight for heteros as well?
What do you mean?
Heterosexuals.
What do you mean? Fighting for their rights.
Yeah, for their rights.
They are so. I am a human rights defender. What I'm is not that? Limited.
Sodomy defender.
Sodomy defender.
I am not limited.
For LGBTI.
Lesbians,
gays,
bisexuals,
transgender, and intersexuals. Where is the H?
Human rights. I told you earlier. I cannot believe you put me on a show with a hooligan.
Why don't you fight for heteros as well?
What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't know if they were joking around or what. I don't know how that part got cut off of the first one. That was great.
Yeah, that was gold. That was gold. I want to tell the listeners the idea I had. So that same guy, he actually does cameos. And for $100, he can call and leave a message for Fox and ask him, why are you gay? You have all these conspiracies, and you always talk about the LGBTQI. You never stand up about the heteros. Why are you gay? Dude, I would die if we did that. I wish I had the money right now to do that, because I wouldn't even think twice about it. But
yeah, well.
Yeah.
All right. here's let me play this other clip. All right. This is for all the female young lady listeners, all right? So check out this chick, Julio.
I'll check her out.
Are you a virgin?
Yes.
And how old are you?
I'm 21.
Why haven't you done the deed yet?
The key to a strong society is family. And so, in my view, choosing my future husband is like...
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The most important decision I'll ever make. And I'm somebody that I know my heart, and I know that I fall really hard when I meet somebody. So I want to retain some level of objectivity when I'm selecting a future partner. And I know that if I had sex with them, I would be completely imprinted on them. And I, instead of being like, okay, is this person, do they have the qualities that I'm looking for in a husband? Or am I just making it work instead of like seeing red flags and leaving?
Is there any reason why you're dressed so modestly instead of revealing like most women tend to do when they come out to Miami?
I mean, this is just my personal sense of style. I just think it's respectful to others and to my future partner and to myself to just cover myself up more. I know that I, you know, take care of myself. I'm pretty athletic, but I don't need to have that on display.
Are you a virgin?
Nice.
Right. I just I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, that's definitely not on the news. That's definitely not featured on TikTok or Instagram, you know, with all these fucking models, and definitely not OnlyFans.
Right.
But you know what, though? I have seen a more, like, uptrend in virginity and a lot of, like, over 18 kind of people.
Oh, yeah?
Nice. Yeah, like, I work with a couple of dudes that are, like, 19, 20, 21, and, you know, they're still virgins, and I'm like, fuck yeah.
Right.
Like, I admire that. Like, my hat's off to you, you know? Like, you can make better decisions, you know? And I tell them that I'm proud of them.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a role model. Like, by the time I got out of the Army, I had 3 baby mamas. You know, by the time I was 21. So, I'm just, I thought I would put that out there. That's commendable.
It is indeed. Yeah, I got to hold this joint like a fucking flute.
Why?
Because it's got a fucking hole, like, right towards the end. Like, a little hole, a little tear. And unless I, like, fucking hold it like I'm fucking playing a flute or a piccolo.
Yeah.
Like, it won't hit right. It's okay. Weird. But, hey, I want to wish, just by the way, I want to wish everybody a happy Kwanzaa and Hanukkah.
Yeah, it's not showing up real good on the camera.
Yeah, I got a book called My Family Celebrates Kwanzaa as a Christmas gift.
Nice. So did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah. It's good. Uneventful, but, you know, good seeing family and spending time together. Good food.
My wife and me went to... you know, I always get everybody, a lot of people just give me a card with money in it. You know what I mean? That's pretty typical, pretty normal. And I had a lot of Christmas money in my wallet. And so my wife wanted me to go with her to get some groceries and shit. And we went to Meijer, which is half grocery, half department store. And so for the first time in my life, I want to say this is the first time probably since I was a kid. All right. So we're walking around. I said, hey, let's walk over here. I want to look at work boots because my work boots had a hole in them in the bottom. I said, let me look at work boots. And she's like, oh, okay. You know, she loves shopping. And so I went and bought a pair of work boots. I haven't tried them on yet. But my other ones are fucking hit. That motherfuckers are shot. I don't they might be about 2 years old. But yeah, I don't know what made me bring that up. I guess I'm happy that I got new work boots.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Check this shit out. Yucko the Clown. You ever heard of Yucko the Clown?
No.
He goes around interviewing people.
Yucko the Clown, what's your name?
My name's Phil.
Phil! Fill your gut with pizza, hot dogs, and any other shit you can eat.
I can't afford braces? What's going on there?
Nah, I don't need them for what I need them for.
Because you look like a fucking jack-o'-lantern, that's why.
You look like a fucking ball sack.
Hey, I'm Yucko the Clown, what's your name?
Deborah.
Deborah, what are you supposed to be today?
Domino from X-Force.
Domino?
Uh-huh, yeah.
You look like you should be playing bingo, you old bitch. Hey, I'm Yucko the Clown, what's your name?
I'm Emmy. Well, I'm Mrs. Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy? I got something that'll make you itch. Crab!
You look like you fell into a fucking tackle box.
Who's your favorite Avenger?
Iron Man.
Iron Man, huh? You look like Robert Downey Syndrome.
Holy shit, you hit the fucking wall, didn't you?
Who's your favorite superhero?
Superman.
Oh, yeah? You're the size of the Daily Planet, you fat tub of monkey shit. So which slot do I stick my dick in?
Oh. I got a couple of those, man. They just started popping up on my feed. I like that dude.
That's funny.
Yeah, he's good.
Lisa says she's going to knit me one of those hats overnight.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
Yeah.
Tell her to text my wife. She just came
over and looked at you.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, she can share the videos. She probably gets them off of TikTok knowing her.
Yeah. Dude, there's so much yarn. Like, me and Lily are like little. So my wife is in denial of how much yarn there is, but there's like yarn in every fucking room. Like, there's like stashes of unused yarn. You know, and like we'll find like needles, you know, like those fucking needles. They're different sizes. And
oh, yeah, right. Is your wife a crocheter?
Yeah.
Nice.
But like those needles are like the 10 millimeter, you know, like a wrench thing. You know what I'm talking about? Socket?
Yeah.
Like a 10 millimeter socket? Yeah. Like.
Yeah, you lose them.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And then you find them. And then you have like 10 of them.
Shit.
But so yesterday, listen to this shit. So you know how people are talking about these drones or orbs, you know, like all over the place?
Jersey mainly, right? It started there. Yeah. Okay.
But I've heard some people seeing them here in Toledo and like in Michigan and like down in Bowling Green and other shit. And I'm like, I'm always looking at the sky because I'm always out at night and I never see anything. So last night, me and Lily are driving home. We went out to eat Mexican food and listen to live music. And we were listening to music on the way home that she was introducing me to. And I see like a blinking light, like a green blinking light on like in the yard, like in the street.
Yeah.
And I ignored it at first. I was like, what the fuck is that? So I asked her to do a U-turn and she did a U-turn and we came back and I picked it up. It was a drone. But it was just a little kid drone.
Hey. I think that's what they are. But the shit is so advanced that the things we know as drones. You got to remember that the government is probably like 30 to 50 years ahead of us. Right? So think of 9/11. Think of full-size, airplane-sized drones They just fucking remotely controlled them crashing into the fucking World Trade Center.
I think it was a hologram.
Or that, but I'm just saying.
No, I'm kidding. It'd be too elaborate.
Well, I mean, a lot of people claim to have seen the shit happen, but a lot of people didn't. So it could be either or, man, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it before that there's that Spider-Man movie with Mysterio. I forget which Spider-Man it is, but he uses drones projecting an image to create disasters. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they fire lasers, you know, so they create real damage, but it's all a projection.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going on and what's going to be happening.
So did you hear about Gavin Newsom is doing away with... We might have talked about this last week. I had it marked down on my paper last week, which this week I don't even have a paper. So I'm just freeballing it. I just threw the paper away from last week, but I seen something and I didn't remember talking about it. Did you see that Gavin Newsom is doing away with sell-by dates?
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. The sell-by dates on groceries are going away in California.
Okay.
So.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that it helps out the corporations and says fuck the consumers. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is no sell-by date.
Huh. I wonder if that has something to do with, you know how that's like a sanctuary state? They have a lot of sanctuary cities for immigrants. You know, yeah. And they're progressive and they're okay with illegals and shit like that. So, like, I know when I watch Spanish television and my parents, one of the things that comes up in the news is, like, mom and pop restaurants or, like, people selling food on the, you know, on the side of the road. Or, you know, little food shacks on the side of the road getting shut down by the health department.
Huh. Well.
You know, for food safety. I wonder if that's a move towards allowing that to happen. Like I know everybody has to make money, you know, and I respect people that, you know, do these sort of things. But I do think that maybe there's some correlation to that. They're doing that in like California and New York City as well.
So you're saying they're doing it to help the food trucks and shit like that?
Yeah.
As opposed to the corporations?
No, I think it goes both hand in hand, but I mean, it also poisons the people. You know, like if one of them does something bad, whether the corporation or the neighborhood person, you know, the mom and pop, ultimately the citizen gets fucked.
See, I don't think he gives a fuck about the food trucks and shit. I could see the CEO of, say, like Kroger's or whatever the fucking grocery store is out in California. And he's saying, hey, look, Newsom. You know, here's $5 million. Get rid of the fucking sell-by date. That's how my mind thinks. And he is a dirty motherfucker.
He's got good hair, though.
If you're queer.
If you're gay.
Why are you gay? All right. I'm going to bring up another clip. What the fuck is this? Ah.
Easy, easy. Whoa, you gotta calm down there, Chuck.
I hurt people. I'm a dick.
Oh, being a dickhead's so bad. See, there's three kinds of people. Dicks, pussies, and assholes. Pussies think everyone can get along, and dicks just want to fuck all the time without thinking it through. But then you got your assholes, Chuck. And all the assholes want us to shit all over everything. So pussies may get mad at dicks once in a while because pussies get fucked by dicks. But dicks also fuck assholes, Chuck. And if they didn't fuck the assholes, you know what you'd get? You'd get your dick and your pussy all covered in shit. Easy, easy. Whoa, you gotta calm down there, Chuck.
That was funny.
I never that seen that Team movie. America. Huh?
That was from Team America.
Yeah, I never seen that.
Neither have I. I've only seen like clips like that.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
All right. Talking about the African dude, I got another clip.
Is it the same one?
No, it's very short. It's, let's see.
Why don't you fight for heteros as well?
What do you mean?
Heterosexuals.
What do you mean? Fight for heterosexuals.
Okay, that was the same one. It's lower down. Hold up. Here it goes. He's talking about the fruits and vegetables that gays use. Cucumbers.
Because they don't have the equipment, they begin to use gadgets like bananas. They use carrots. They use bananas. They use cucumbers. Because they don't have the equipment, they begin to use gadgets like bananas.
All right.
They
use carrots. All right, that's enough.
They use bananas. They
that's
use
you.
Cucumbers.
I'm trying.
Because they don't have the equipment, they begin to use gadgets like bananas.
All right,
they
I'm stuck. Hold up. I'm froze up here. All right, stop it. All right, there we go. They begin to use gadgets like bananas. Carrots, cucumbers.
Cucumbers.
Because they don't have the equipment. This is Pat Sajak. I guess
every
he had a
team
talk
owner
show.
Gambles on football teams?
Well, I'm saying that no fewer than 26
That's
NFL team owners have documented ties, past and present NFL team owners have documented business ties to either the gambling community and or the organized crime syndicate. I'm also saying that no fewer than 70 NFL games have been fixed.
Now, that's pretty rough stuff. You're saying no fewer than 70 NFL mm-hmm. games have been fixed. You mean right. the outcome, the point spread, what?
I'm saying the points were shaved and thereby fixed.
Yeah. How does this happen?
Well, I first got into this about 1983. Vincent Persani, who is the head of the Michigan State Attorney General's Office Organized Crime Division, told me if you're going to do a book about the NFL, Dan, you're going to have to get into this guy Don Dawson because he was fixing games. We knew it. I went to my friends and my sources at the Internal Revenue Service, the Organized Crime Intelligence Division. They said Don Dawson was fixing games. I went to the FBI, the Organized Crime and Racketeering Section of the Justice Department, and Strike Force Field Offices. Everybody told me what Don Dawson was fixing games. At that point, I had enough evidence to print that allegedly Don Dawson was fixing NFL games. He was a major bookmaker in the Midwest. I then went to Dawson. I tracked him down. I jumped through all kinds of hoops to interview him. And when I interviewed him on about the seventh or eighth interview, he admitted to me that he had personally participated in the fixing of no fewer than 32 NFL games.
How does that happen?
He liked to work with the quarterback. He would go to the quarterback would come to him and say, I need some bread. What's the line on the game this week? And the
every team owner gambles on.
It's crazy, huh?
No, that's why I don't waste my time on it.
So you're making millions of dollars and you got to go to a fucking bookie like, hey, I need some money. That's what it is, man. People get caught up in that lifestyle. You know what I mean? It's fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't have to like be a ball player to get caught up in a lifestyle. Did you hear about the that cop, that New York police officer that made over $400,000 last year?
No.
All right. So I'm going to share my screen here and then I'll play it. Okay, there you are. Share sound. Here we go.
NYPD's highest paid employee has to retire early due to her jaw-dropping overtime pay. Records showed Lieutenant Quathisha Epps overworked roughly 74 hours a week, pulling in over $400,000 only for the last year. She was paid $204,000 for overtime for her desk job, which would be enough to cover the salaries of three new NYPD officers. For comparison, her boss earned $292,000 in total for the same year. The officer's early retirement comes as she faces an internal probe into alleged falsified overtime hours. Now, as she is facing a return to patrol and a pay cap, Epps is set to retire just shy of 20 years early, meaning she will miss out on a $12,000 annual bonus for long-term officers and part of her pension, but will still collect around $16,000 a month. Meanwhile, the NYPD has only 30 days to complete its investigation before Epps' pension kicks in. NYPD's highest paid employee.
Yeah, so guess how she was able to accomplish that?
How?
She was sleeping with her boss.
No.
Yeah.
Did you hear her pension? $16,000 a month?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Holy shit.
Dumb bitch.
Fucking big forehead bitch.
Nah, it was more like a five head.
Damn. Fucking got like the Klingon forehead.
Right. Hey, she made it work, though. Her boss liked it.
I mean, damn.
All right. Here's our favorite, Alex Jones.
It's connected to P. Diddy. Today, I'd forgotten about that. That's how much intel I get. This is a very good source. Today, I get another call by someone very close to me, very well known. They said, we don't care. Go ahead and say it. He said, hey, LeBron James just sold his Florida condo 2 weeks ago and has left the country. And they got specifically... You could imagine how that it's over P. Diddy. So, wow, I just broke that. Sorry. It's connected to P. Diddy. Today, I'd forgotten about that. That's how much intel I get.
Okay. Fucking Alex Jones, more intel. He's saying that LeBron James is fleeing the country. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I can believe it. I mean, he's been kind of like being shitty on the team lately.
I mean, he's hit and miss. You know, like I can remember when I marked it down in my notes, right? Remember when fucking Biden was doing he was so fucking deteriorating and shit?
Yeah.
And one of our episodes was called Biden Will Be Replaced. And I had this shit marked down in my notes. Alex Jones swore up and down. He said, Biden will be removed and he will be replaced by Hillary Clinton. You can look it up. I've got the documents. Right. So he's not always right, but he's entertaining. That's all I give a shit about. He fucking cracks me up. All right, we're back. God damn it.
Sing that song again, dude.
Camel Toe?
Yeah.
All right, if you guys listened last week, you remember all the Camel Toe songs. My coworker was he was a mentally impaired hillbilly from Georgia, and he just loved picking on people. Well, like I said, if you listened last week, you heard the story of Camel Toe, the guy that shot himself in the dick with a piece of slag. And so all the songs that came on the radio, Albert would make them up. Julio, when we were off air, I was singing the Camel Toe song, and Julio wanted me to sing it again. So you know the song Curtis Lowe by Lynyrd Skynyrd? Play me a song, Camel Toe, Camel Toe. fucking Albert. I wonder if that motherfucker's still alive. He probably is. Big goofy motherfuckers like that live forever. What's this? All right, I got a clip.
Exactly when did your own association with the CIA start, and in what fashion?
In 1958, when I came home from India, I discussed with student leaders, past and present, many of them active with the National Student Association, this kind of small foundation to encourage Americans to go. They thought it was a good idea, too. I was then told by foundations and professors and friends that I should not do this, that I would get in trouble with the House Un-American Activities Committee, the American Legion, and I became convinced that it was impossible. It was at that point that the student leaders said to me that they had in the past received funds for international programs from the CIA, and that they felt that this was important and could also be partly funded by the CIA. And the private individuals to whom I went often had particular points of view to put forward, which would have been much, much more restricting than the CIA funds were, which were free. I mean, no one was told what to say.
What do you mean they were free? You mean to say it was easier for you to work for the CIA than a private
organization? That's right. That's right. And the reason I think that comes as a surprise, as it did to me at the time. I mean, I had the conventional liberals' view of the CIA as a right-wing incendiary group. And I was amazed to discover that this was far from the case, that they were enlightened, liberal, nonpartisan activists of the sort. When the story broke that I had once been, that I had for 4 years been a Central Intelligence agent, I was demonstrating outside the Pentagon underneath Mr. McNamara's office against bombing in Vietnam. And this didn't precisely fit with the image of a CIA agent, but then neither does the CIA.
Exactly when did your...
So...
You've been doing it that long.
Yeah, man. There was, you can talk about Operation Mockingbird. That was in the late 60s, early 70s. She's talking about 1958, dude.
Yeah.
And they were pushing this shit. So it's a long game, man. They've been working on this shit forever. And it pisses me right the fuck off. It pisses me off.
Sounds like Alex Jones.
You can look it up. I've got the documents.
Yeah, I there's a series of books that takes place like in the 20s and 30s. So it's even before all of this shit. And there are agents in Europe, United States agents, working with like other spies.
Yeah.
To like to create shit in other countries. And that led to like World War One, World War Two, and all these things. Like it was all orchestrated.
I believe it.
And like we always say, like they hide the truth in plain sight. Not just in movies, but also in books.
And they keep pushing and pushing. Okay, so 2013, Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act, which included an amendment to legalize domestic propaganda on the American people, allowing the corporate media to create misinformation against our citizens illegally. This is allowed even though FCC regulations state it is illegal for broadcasters to intentionally distort the news, and the FCC may act on complaints if there is documented evidence of such behavior from persons with direct personal knowledge. So, I mean, there's all kinds of different shit you can talk about. The Patriot Act, they just keep pushing harder and harder. You know what I mean?
Yep. I mean, we talked at Obama phones right after, he got elected. They really became a way to track people. That's what they were giving out for free.
Yeah, it was a personal GPS. Yeah. That's all it was.
And to monitor what you looked at, et cetera, you know, and that's under the Patriot Act.
Right. Yeah. I remember when, back when my mom was alive, she was fucking with my son. I came to visit for like Christmas or something like that, or Thanksgiving. And she goes, "Hey, Nathan, show your dad your Obama phone." He's like, "Come on, Grandma." It's like, "Nah, show him." And so he showed me his phone. But, I mean, my mom was a joker, man. She was always fucking with people. It's like, "Show your dad your Obama phone."
That's funny.
All right, we've heard this before, but it's Bukele.
They always tell me that the problem is high taxes, but they're wrong. Of course, high taxes are extremely high here in the United States. I give you that. But that's not the real problem. The real problem is not the high taxes themselves, but the fact that they are not even really funding the government. Government is financed by treasury bonds, paper. And who buys the treasury bonds? Mostly the Fed. And how does the Fed buy them? By printing money. But what backing does the Fed have for that money being printed? The treasury bonds themselves. So basically, you finance the government by printing money out of thin air. Well, so if the government can print the limited amounts of money out of thin air, why do they collect taxes?
Here comes the applause.
The answer is simple, but it's very shocking. The real problem is that you pay high taxes only to uphold the illusion that you are funding the government, which you are not. They always tell me that the problem is high taxes.
But I don't know how they haven't shot him.
Right.
And stopped him from like talking at, you know, like World Economic Forum shit. You know, and
I listen to Bukele talk and I'm like, you know, everybody's always trying to say that Trump is the Antichrist and shit because everybody is supposedly going to love the Antichrist. But so many people fucking hate Trump. But you got a motherfucker like Bukele. I don't think anybody fucking hates Bukele. It's like Obama. You know, he was a smooth talker. But now everybody knows that he's a queer. But back in the day, I don't know, man. I think Bukele is a fucking... He's a silver-tongued devil, man. I don't know. Hopefully, he's 100%. I mean, there's nothing to show me that he's trying to be deceitful or nothing. I think he's just a good dude, you know? And we'll see what happens. He's not just going to fucking... They're not just going to let him keep talking this shit. You know, I mean... I don't know what's going to become of Bukele.
Well, I think a lot of times they, especially for Latin America, they always find someone from that country to take people out.
Yeah, like the cartel or some shit.
Yeah, and because I don't know. I think they haven't taken him out because they haven't found somebody from within to do it. Same thing with the president of Nicaragua. I hate the motherfucker, but people love him, and I guess in that country, and nobody wants to kill him.
Huh.
But yet here in the United States, people hated Trump so bad they try to kill him twice.
Right. At least twice.
Yeah.
And you know what else I was thinking about? Our friend Jack Black.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they sneak shit in movies. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so you remember when he was a substitute teacher on School of Rock?
Yeah.
And... back when I watched that movie, I didn't realize he was a fucking leftist weirdo, so I didn't think nothing of it. But I seen a clip of it, and I'm thinking, so he's like, I'm not, all the parents got pissed off and find out that who he was, and he wasn't really who he said he was. And he says something like, Your kids touch me, and I'm pretty sure I touch them. Right? And I'm just thinking, like, yeah, he's a fucking pedophile, and they try to slip that shit in on a funny note. You know what I'm saying? But,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's how they do it, man. And I didn't realize what a fucking creep he was until he fucking did a concert for fucking Biden. It's like... you know, that was when all the fucking Diddy shit was going on. It's like, come on, man.
Did you see any of those NFL games on Netflix?
No.
Like, the Ravens played, I forget who, the Texas...
Houston Texans?
Yeah. And Beyonce performed.
No, I didn't see any of that.
She played her top country hits.
What?
Yeah. Jolene included.
You mean Jolene, Dolly Parton's song?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I forget who I was talking about it. But, like, I don't know, like, I didn't really like her country music. I'm going to go as far as to say, like, let's just keep country white.
That's racist, Julio.
I could not do it. Like, it was really weird. I don't know. There's a guy, a black guy that does country that I like.
Coffee Anderson?
No, I don't know who that is, but it sounds cool.
He's cool. He does the song Mr. Red, White, and Blue.
I think I listened to that before. I think you told me about it.
I think I probably played it for you when we were in the garage over here. Mr. Red, White, and Blue. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's in the hidden files, the hidden recordings. Those are stashed in Area 51.
Right. If you motherfuckers think I sound drunk on any of our episodes, you have no fucking idea. Until you hear Julio's covert
X-Files.
Yeah, X-Files.
They might be at an Area 51 out of Nevada, or they might be under Wright-Patterson Air Force Base down in Dayton. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me. I got... Jesus Christ.
Hey, so this summer... The Toledo Air Show is coming back to town.
Yeah.
We should volunteer. Yeah, we should volunteer.
You mean fucking planes and shit?
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about that shit.
No?
No. It's not my area of expertise.
Kind of cool.
All right, here. I got a couple of voicemails. And I gotta extend my fucking screen for these, so here.
Hello, conspiracy soldiers. It is Clem Stump. I just wanted to let you know that it's not so much that I love Luigi Mangione, though I'm not blind. He's a good looking kid. It's that I hate health insurance CEOs. So, you know, free Luigi.
All right. Thanks, Clem. You know what? I know you're a lefty. And I don't know. I can't get behind that dude, man. Like, maybe if I was a chick, I would. I don't know. Julio probably likes him.
I just know he helped me that whole day. He was here the whole day helping me out.
Oh, that's right. I forgot Luigi was over at Julio's place. All right. And then I got a Christmas voicemail here from Carl.
This is Carl, deep down the Yuletide Munker. I just wanted to say Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. Carl's out.
All right, that was a waste of time. Nice.
It made me think of Home Alone.
right.
That gangster shoots the minigun.
Yeah. No, that's what he was talking about.
Yeah.
The movie clip.
Yep. Yeah, no, that was great, Carl. But going back to Clem, sorry we didn't make it to your karaoke, Christmas karaoke. Fox and I don't do well when we're not working. And then, Carl, that was great. Thank you for leaving that voicemail. You never know what alcohol can tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Clem. It's hard when you're only doing emails because I'm not a computer guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't have my notifications on either for my email.
We need a secretary.
Yeah.
Maybe Clem. We're going to hire Clem once the finances start picking up. That might be never. Thanks for calling, though, Clint. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to give a shout out to the Southern Center.
Yeah.
He still listens to us.
Piss drunk. I remember him. I haven't forgotten you, Southern Center. I still remember the piss drunk.
Yeah, we were messaging and he's like, didn't I hear in one of your last podcasts that you were back at Domino's? And I was like, oh, so you still listen. That's awesome.
Well, call in, Southern Center. We'll always play your shit, especially if you piss your parents. We love that.
We prefer if you call while your pants are pissed. Please.
Right. That'd be great.
All right, man.
Ready to wrap it up?
Ready to wrap it up. Usually I don't, but tonight I will.
Yeah, this is a weird night. It's only, it's going on 9 p.m. December 28th, 2024.
All right. This is our New Year's episode.
Yeah.
Our last 2024 episode, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man. thanks, everybody, for listening. You know, tell your friends, give us good reviews and all that bullshit. We appreciate it. And, you know, even if there's only a couple people listening, I don't give a fuck. But there's a lot of you guys out there, and we appreciate it, all of you.
We definitely love those people out in Kathmandu.
Kathmandu, which is in Nepal. And I never knew that until we got a listener from Kathmandu. And I'm like, wait, where the fuck is that? it's in Nepal. All right. Because I'll tell you what. All right. So back home, I lived in a biker town, basically. Maybe not a biker town, but like a biker neighborhood. And so, like, when I went to the Army, a couple people wanted to go with me the first time because it was too far for them to, you know, they couldn't fly a plane to their hometown. So I said, you can come to Akron. You know, it was like an 8-hour drive upstate New York to Akron. And, we went to parties and there were fights. There was gangs. There was everybody got fucking laid. You know, so the next time I went home, everybody's like, "Hey, Fox, man, you going home this weekend?" I'm like, "Yeah, but the truck's already full, brother." You know, everybody wanted to go to Akron, right? And so I would take them to the bars that I go to, you know, and the bars that my uncles and everybody went to and shit. And Bob Seger was always on the fucking jukebox, always. And so everybody, like, when we would go back to New York, everybody's like, dude, every time I hear Bob Seger, it reminds me of fucking Akron. And I'm like, me too. Right. So I don't even know what the fuck I was talking about.
Okay. Bob Seger.
Yeah, Kathmandu. Bob Seger. Kathmandu.
Hate that song.
I love it. Reminds me of Rocky Dennis. Do you know who Rocky Dennis is?
Yeah, The Mask.
Yeah.
That movie.
He had the same kind of childhood I did, except my head wasn't fucked up. Bunch of bikers and shit.
I can see that.
Right, right. I love it.
Yeah, what's that actor's name?
What's
the biker guy?
What biker?
Not the biker, but like the cowboy guy with the mustache.
Oh, Sam.
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, he's like classic looking. I wish I could look classic. Like it's like he always looks like the same. Like it doesn't matter what decade. He's just like a different variation of like who he is today.
Yeah, I think he just
died. Never changed.
Did he die?
No, he's still alive.
Okay. All right. Let's wrap it up, brother.
Yeah.
This episode is dedicated to Camel Toe.
Camel Toe, Camel Toe, Camel Toe.
Play me a song, Camel Toe, Camel Toe. I got your drinking money, you are Camel Toe. All right, it's enough.
I feel Camel Toe tonight.
Oh, boy. Oh, okay, that's enough. I got started.
Oh, Camel Toe, Camel Toe.
Oh, Camel Toe, be careful when you're grinding.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open Camel Toe.
All right. All right. We're going to shut it down. We're going to shut it down.
Camel Toeing all the way.
All right. All right. Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark. Good night, Camel Toe.